So it's been a really incredible weekend, and I can't believe we're coming toward the end of it. And y'all have done some incredible work. You guys have been active and participating and connecting. And I don't know if you've noticed, it's really fun up here to get to experience like the shifts in the room. And I don't know if you guys have experienced that, but like when you start feeling the power, I get the opportunity to stand over here and pray. And when you feel the power of forgiveness, when you feel the shift of you guys releasing something that is not yours to carry anymore, it's the most beautiful thing. And I hope as you feel it for yourself, you start to feel the shift in the room in the same way. And that when we were talking about authority and taking dominion, that's what we are called to do. And as we forgive, and if there's more people to forgive, I had kind of a long list. And as I worked through each one and released each one, I stepped into more of authority of who I was and got to learn that. And it's really fun. And so this whole weekend, we're here to really know God and to be known by Him. But there's this tiny bitty problem that happens every once in a while, that we see the world as, let me say that again, we only see the world as it is, not as, hold on, wow.
We believe.
We believe we see the world as it is, but we only see the world as we are. And I still, did I butcher it?
You got it.
I got it? I'm going to say it again because I felt like I butchered it. Thank you. Oh, sorry, I left you hanging. Forgive me.
Hang on.
I've got time. We believe we see the world as it is, but we see the world as we are. And that's a problem because our internal structures that have been created since a little bitty child, we are looking at male. What is man? What is female? What is woman? What are friends? What are relatives? Who are we amongst all of this? And all of these internal structures of the people that we are connected to create this picture of a world that we try to fit ourselves into. But it's so fascinating because you look at the Trinity of God the Father, God the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And when I was doing a ministry for the women coming out of the sex industry, and the number one reason why the majority of the women are in the industry is up to 95% of those women have been sexually abused as children. And a lot of the sexual abuse happened by fathers or stepfathers, but definitely men that were in positions of authority. And so when we would be teaching, we would be very careful to use the word father, because they had an internal structure of what father meant to them. But God the Father is loving and kind, gracious and powerful, bright and shiny, and wants you to curl up in his lap and rest. He speaks authority. He speaks into your life and speaks identity. And then you've got Jesus. And a lot of people can relate to Jesus really easily because he's my bro. Wow. It's late.
No, babe. That was super cool.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I'm cool. Yeah. Thanks. Y'all don't tell me I'm not, please. But like, I was an only child. And so I didn't have siblings, but I had a bunch of cousins, and they were all boys. And I was the oldest girl of all of these boy cousins, and I was such a tomboy. And so my structure of bro was all these boys that I had to be tomboy to be authority over. But we were cousins and we had a blast. And then Jesus, he loves, he connects, he walks alongside, he speaks, he shows you who you are. And then you've got the Holy Spirit. We'll just call her Mom. But it's the feminine attribute of God, the beautiful attribute of God, masculine God, the Father, Jesus, and then the feminine attribute of God, the true feminine, that speaks kindness, nurture, love. And if you grew up in a household with a controlling mom, you can look at Holy Spirit and go, I don't know if I want to be controlled by the Holy Spirit. I don't know if I want Holy Spirit to fully come inside of me, because what if I can't control myself? And so we build these internal structures of God the Father, Jesus, and Holy Spirit by how we have been related to and how we relate to people in our lives. And so in a minute, we're going to walk you through what we call the Father Ladder. And it's this beautiful way where God, well, Lord, we ask the Lord to introduce us to parts of the Trinity so we can discover his fullness, because he's not separate. He is one whole God with three beautiful parts that speak identity, that nurture, that love, that come alongside and walk. And each one of them is amazing. So if you've ever felt resistance to God the Father, it's like, I just want to see his eyes. But I'm terrified to see his eyes, because if he looks at me, he's going to tell me what to do. Or he's going to be really mad at me because, you know, we've all been said, God is watching. All been said, we've all been told. But God the Father's like, yeah, I'm watching. And I love you. And so in a minute, well, I'm going to actually have you in a minute now. This very minute.
I have a few things I might say first.
I would love that.
So if you've heard what Polly said, you know, there's these internal structures she's talking about. They both become lenses to us and filters, right? So lenses and filters say, here's how I'm going to see things and here's what I'm going to let in. And so you heard Polly and I both tell at different times, maybe I didn't say it yet, that I was also an atheist before I was born again. Both of us have fathers that were distant or, in her case, abusive. Coincidence? I think not, right? When we have fathers that are distant, disconnected, or even abusive, to think that we might have any need for or even believe in a heavenly father, then our internal structure of fatherhood builds a screen and a lens that keeps us from experiencing God as he really is, and we impose ourselves on him instead. In the same way, like if Polly told the story, I mentioned the fact that my mom was kind of the classic codependent. When I finally got to the place where I believed in and began to engage with the Holy Spirit, I had this strange ongoing fear that if I really yielded myself to the Spirit of God, it would wear me out. Read into that what you will. But the idea would be that as I related to the feminine, to my mother, I developed an internal structure that said that feminine, the comforter, God the comforter, the Holy Spirit, actually would be similar to that structure. Not true, but it's a core belief. It's a filter and a lens through which I view the Holy Spirit. And so the idea is that we impose on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, our own experiences of father, mother, and peers. We don't do it on purpose. It's just the lens that we bring to it and the filter we bring to it. And so as we start to realize that, we want to give you guys a chance to perhaps you're more comfortable really interacting with Jesus. Maybe when you pray or when you ask to speak to God, maybe you immediately see the smiling, bearded face of the Hebrew rabbi who's walking you down the street. And like Polly said, your bro walking you down the street. That'll be our new thing. But maybe you had issues with your brothers or family or peers, and instead you felt much more connected to your Father. And so maybe that when you pray and ask God to speak to you, you're much more comfortable. God the Father shows up, and however you see that or however you experience that, you experience more kind of the masculine and the paternal aspect of God, that he shows up in the same way that your Father did. Because you're open to that, and your soul is open to receive that. But if you had a mother that was nurturing and caring and that was good to you and you enjoyed that relationship, it may well be that you have a hard time relating to the Father because he's scary, hard time relating to Jesus because you're an only child. But man, the Holy Spirit is the one that you run to and bathe in and find yourself most connected to, because we don't see the world as it is. I'll take a stab at it now. I'm standing in the chair or standing in the place. We don't see the world as it is. We see the world as we are. We impose on the world, and therefore every aspect of the world, including God himself. Now, with that in mind, I want you to think about God the Father and God the Holy Spirit in a particular way, because where we want to land our time today is we want to hang out a little bit with God the Holy Spirit. Not just hang out with him. We want to engage him in such a way that you all have a chance to have an encounter with the Spirit. Not that you haven't been already, but specifically to encounter the Holy Spirit in some ways that we believe he wants to encounter you. So one of the things that we often teach when we talk about mother-father issues, mother-father wounds, is that the masculine attribute of God and the feminine attribute of God are represented by what he calls himself the Alpha and the Omega, right? So run through this real quick. When God created Adam, God put his entire nature inside of Adam, then he pulled Eve out of Adam's rib. So both the masculine and feminine were in God and were both in Adam until he separated the two and the one became two. So the masculine and feminine attributes of God, we're not talking about male and female. We're talking about the masculine and feminine attribute, which is initiative and nurture. The Alpha, here's the way God describes it himself, the Alpha and the Omega. We understand the Alpha and the Omega are the beginning letter of the Greek alphabet and the ending letter of the Greek alphabet. And so what we might, if we hear this with Genesis 4 minds, we might think God is where it all, you know, the beginning of the sentence and the Holy Spirit is the end of the sentence, or the feminine attribute is the end of the sentence. But really the Alpha and the Omega is so much more than that. Because with the Father, and by design, our earthly Father is designed to give us, is it's designed to be not just where things begin, but the source of all things. In the same way that the snows on top of a mountain are the source of the beginning of the river, that source of the river, that's what it means when God is the beginning. He's not the beginning like this is the moment it starts, but he is that from which it starts. The Alpha masculine attribute of God is that which says, I'm going to make a Lauren. And from God comes everything that's true about her. The feminine attribute of God would say, as the Omega, I'm not where Lauren ends. I'm where Lauren finds her completion. I'm where Lauren finds her fullness. I'm the attribute of God that brings nurture, and nurture says, in the presence of the nurture of God, you're welcome to become everything that's true about you. So we've got both the God who gives identity and the attribute of God that says, I'm going to take what I've given you and give it an opportunity to come into its fullness, both of them coming from these attributes of God. If I hadn't mentioned before, we had a grandchild last night, which means that our daughter was pregnant. And so we see, even in that picture, the Alpha would be the conception of the child, the seed coming from the husband. The seed that planted it in my daughter's womb came from the husband. But in that womb, that seed goes from a single cell to two cells to four to, don't do the math because I couldn't keep up. But all of a sudden, 9 months later, you've got a fetus, or now an infant born last night. That child goes from conception to fullness of gestation to birth. And that's a picture again of the masculine and the feminine. That God the Father says, in the beginning, God. I want you to really catch this. The whole Bible begins with, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And we see the picture of the Spirit hovering over the waters. God spoke it into existence. And the Spirit, that comforter, the feminine attribute of God, says, I'm going to take the chaos that he spoke into existence and begin to bring it into order. But part of the unfolding story is there's three stages of God's history in the world. There's a stage where God says, look, In the beginning, God, I created it all. I put the garden here, I put Adam and Eve here, and from Adam and Eve all the way through the end of Malachi, God is the one who's the master of ceremonies on the earth. And throughout the whole Old Testament, we see the age of God being the one who's running the show. The masculine attribute of God, the Father, the source of all things, puts everything in place, sets everything in motion, and he steps back, and the book of Matthew says this. Starts out like this. These are the generations of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now the Son steps into the stage. And we move from the age of God being the master of ceremonies to Jesus puts his feet on the planet and comes among us. He says, listen, I know you guys are super confused by all that stuff, but stay with me. I'm going to help you kind of clear the air. God has come back among you again. The kingdom's come near. If you'll change the way that you think, you can access the kingdom. And you start to see that the power of God demonstrated and the truth of God demonstrated and the freedom that the soul was made for. As Jesus walks his 33 years on the earth, you see him giving what God the Father started. But there comes a moment in John 15 where he goes, hey, I'm about done with my part. Act 2 is almost over. And the final act is about to begin. Not the final act isn't the end, in the same way that the omega isn't just the end of the alphabet, the same way that the nurture attribute of feminine isn't just the end of the seed being planted. But when Jesus says, I'm about to go away, God stepped back and let me be the one on the scene, and his kingdom is near, but he's letting me be the conductor, the master of ceremonies, if you will. But then he comes and says, but when I go away, I'm going to send another. And he will be the comforter. And the beauty of that, there's several things beautiful about that. Jesus could only be in one place at a time. The Holy Spirit is everywhere at all times. But the other thing about it is, Jesus could stand next to us, but the Holy Spirit could be in us. And the completion, the third and final act, not final in the sense that everything ends, but everything really begins, in the same way that that baby born at 2:30 this morning, that's not the end of something. Even though it's the end of 9 months of my daughter's going, I just want to have this baby. It's the end of that, but that's the beginning of life. See, we think of Jesus coming back as the end of time, but it's really the beginning of eternity. And we think of the Holy Spirit coming as the end of Jesus' time on the earth, but it's really the beginning of the age of the Spirit. And the Spirit comes and says, now everything that those two set in motion, I am the nurturing, comforting aspect of God that comes and says, I'm going to bring into fullness what I put in you, whether yesterday, this afternoon, or 10 years ago, what I put in you is the job of the Holy Spirit to come and say, hey, what's in you? I'm going to surround you like the womb of a mother and allow you in the gestation period of the rest of eternity to become everything that God's put inside of you. You can see how essential this age of the church and how essential the role of the Holy Spirit isn't just that it gives us gifts by which we can demonstrate God on the earth. It's the one who finishes it all. He's the one who says, hey, the seeds that have been planted, the things that you've carried, it's time to take all of that and bring it to its fullness. I have a weird history. I do. I feel like I have a weird history. Atheist, born again in a Baptist church that was beginning to discover the Holy Spirit. Somewhere along the way, a missionary from Haiti showed up, and while he's teaching, This is a guy who's doing and experiencing the supernatural down in Haiti. And he shows up in this Baptist church who's starting to think that maybe there's more to God. And in a moment, he's teaching, and while he's teaching, I would submit to you that I received my first and initial baptism in the Holy Spirit. Nobody told me those words. No one said, hey, Bob, we're going to teach about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I'm going to have you do some things to make that happen. I'm sitting listening to this guy unfold 1 Corinthians. I'm not going to tell you because it's not a formula. I'm listening to him just expound on the scriptures, and he comes to a moment where he kind of gets the height of his teaching, and all of a sudden I feel like somebody's poured warm oil over the top of my head. And I feel like my eyes are being opened and my heart is being opened. And as I'm listening to him kind of unfold this passage, I feel like suddenly something is filling me from the top of my head to the bottom of my toes. And I'm sitting there and I'm looking at everybody else going, are you feeling this too? And everyone's kind of going, I'm like, well, I don't know what they're feeling, but I feel different. And from that moment, I began to know things I didn't know how I knew them and see things I didn't know how I saw them and understand things I didn't know how I understood them. No one ever said, hey, Bob, you got baptized in the Holy Spirit. I just, looking back at that from now living among some charismatic folks, I look back and go, oh, that's what happened to me. Because the seed that was planted in me the day I was born again, that Spirit showed up and said, hey, God himself lives in you. Let's bring that to its fullness. Let's, through the proclaimed scriptures and the presence of God, let's breathe the Holy Spirit into you, and in that, bring the fullness of life to the seed that's already been planted. Last night, we talked about getting free from yourself, which is the new birth. But we see also there's a time in the book of Acts where the Lord comes along and says, as long as you've known Jesus, have you also received the Holy Spirit? The age of the Holy Spirit began when Jesus said, I'm about to go back. And when Jesus went back, days later, weeks later, however long later, the disciples are praying together, eating together, and into the upper room suddenly comes the Spirit of God and everything changes. And now the age of the Holy Spirit begins. It's the age we live in. What we first want to do is we want to get you to kind of think about and engage the ways that you've known God up until today. You might be like Polly, who had all these rough and tumble cousins, and she's so comfortable with Jesus. And for a while, God the Father was like, ooh, he's scary. You might be like others that we've talked to who so well know the Father, but Jesus is terrifying to them. You may be buds with all three of them. I just want to give us all a chance to explore the idea that God the Father has something to give you. Jesus the Son has something to give you. And we're going to finish by both declaring and asking the question, what might be the thing that the Holy Spirit wants to give you? So let's do this. Where you are, just close your eyes. We've been in this place a few times this weekend. And this place is that we stop teaching and we start asking God to do his part. Sometimes his part is just to speak to us. Sometimes it's to heal some things. But I'm just going to ask him to come to you where you are. So Lord, as we settle into the presence of your kingdom and settle into the reality that you are near, Lord, would you show yourself to us in the way we most need to see you today? Where each of us sits, would you reveal yourself to us in the ways we most need to see you today? Listen, we didn't go into detail about this, but sometimes you might just see a picture. Sometimes you might get a sense, like the person I've talked about that just felt peace on the inside for the first time. Sometimes you might hear a word or a whisper. But as you get a sense of God showing himself to you the way he wants to show you, just put your hand up and back down so that I know that he's speaking to you. And so, Lord, as you come to us in the way we most need to see you today, in that place, what do you want to say and what do you want to do in the place and the way that you've come to us? And again, if you sense a response from him, just put your hand up and back down. And then, Lord, is there a part of the Trinity that you want to talk to me about and introduce me to? Is there a part of the Trinity that I've either believed lies about or just haven't known in the way that you want me to know them, that you want to talk to me about and introduce me to? And again, if you sense an answer to that, slip your hand up and back down. And so, Father, as you prepare to introduce us, is there anything that we've believed or need to know about that part of the Trinity you want to introduce us to? Is there anything you want to tell us or anything that you want to talk to that we've believed about that part of the Trinity? And again, hands up and back down just so we know to keep up with you. So then, Lord, would you take us and introduce us to the one that you've wanted to introduce us to? And as the Lord introduces you to that other part of the Trinity, let's ask the same question of whoever he's introduced you to. Lord, that new part of the Trinity that you've brought us to, what did they want to say and what did they want to do? And again, if you sense an answer, just hands up and down so we can keep up with you. And Lord, as we've done step one and step two, but there's three parts to you. Is there another part of the Trinity that you want to talk to us about and ultimately introduce us to today? Up and back down so we can keep up. And so, Lord, what do you want to say to us about that part? Is there something we've believed or a lie we've believed or something we need to know before you take us and introduce us to the third and final part of who you are? Then, Lord, as you speak those things we need to see and hear and know, would you take us and introduce us to the rest of you? as we move towards the end of the time, we're going to ask the ministry team to come down and the band to come up. Just have the team come down front, the worship team come take their places. Stay in your place of listening. As we mentioned, as Jesus came to the end of his ministry, his time on earth, he looked at the disciples and said, "It's good for you that I go away. It's good for you that I go, because when I go, I'll send another. That other is going to talk to you about some stuff. He's going to convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment." It's an interesting thing. He says, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to convict you of sin and righteousness and judgment." And then he goes on to explain that, because he knows our propensity to think with Genesis 4 minds. He says, "I'm going to convict you of sin. The Holy Spirit will convict you of sin because they don't know me." So the conviction of sin is the Holy Spirit's job towards the unbeliever. It's funny how quickly we accept that as ours. When Jesus talks about the role of the Holy Spirit in the conviction of sin, he says, "I'm going to convict them of sin because they don't know me." See, for us as believers, that's not the Holy Spirit's assignment. The Holy Spirit comes to the unbeliever and says, "You don't know God. He's here. Would you like to know him?" The absence of God in your soul, that's that sinful place inside of you where he's not present. Would you like to know him? But then Jesus turns his attention. He says he's going to convict of righteousness. And here's his words. He says, "Because I go to the Father." What that means is, listen, when you came to know Jesus, when Jesus came to take up residence inside of you, he gave you his righteousness. And now he goes to the Father and says, "Would you send your Spirit to tell them who they are and what's true about them?" The role of the Holy Spirit in an unbeliever's life is to convict of their need for Jesus. But the role of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life is to say this: "You are mine, and I've made you whole, and I've made you righteous." Then he tells us the funniest thing. I still don't fully understand, because we're not there yet. He says, "I'm going to convict you of judgment." We think, oh, finally, the judgment. And then he says, "But I'm going to convict you of judgment because the ruler of this world has been judged." What we need to understand is there's going to come a point in history where we also stand alongside Jesus and judge the kingdom of darkness. I don't know how to do that, but the role of the Holy Spirit is to tell me how to do that when that moment comes. To the unbeliever, he convicts us of sin. Somehow we think that's what he does with us. But clearly what Jesus is saying, the Holy Spirit comes to convict us. "You are mine, and I've made you righteous." Listen, we wanted to give you an opportunity in your seats to just engage the Lord, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Everyone will have had different experiences because he comes to you in the way he needs you. You need him to come. We've invited the team up here because there's something in the scriptures about the laying on of hands and the receiving of the Spirit. I'm going to speak what I believe I know. Joel's going to nod if I'm getting this right. We are not a church where we manipulate or coerce any experience. We simply want to lay our hands on and pray for the reception of the Holy Spirit. We're not a church where we're going to try to coerce some kind of activity out of you or produce some self-manufactured behavior, but rather that you would be in a posture of receiving. And these people are trusted people in this house. These are mature people in this house. These are people that are trusted by the leadership. These are the leadership. And their place is simply to look you in the eyes, ask you what you want from the Lord, and put their hands on you and pray for you to receive the Holy Spirit. So Father, as you gave Jesus the name Emmanuel, that you are God with us, and the transition from the age of God with us to God in us, it is your Spirit on the earth and it is your Spirit in us that's the hope of the end of time and the hope of each individual believer. Come, Holy Spirit.